Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
One more hour to go. Grant and Danny coming up at 2 o'clock. They'll have Ryan Kerrigan on their show this afternoon. Ryan Kerrigan, a guy that's got some decisions to make in this offseason. Gauge his worth out there to some other clubs as well. Pleased to be joined now by the great NFL columnist John Clayton. John, how are you on this Friday?
Good. How are you, Pete?
Doing great. Appreciate the time here today. Fascinating angle on your column earlier this week in the Washington Post. We talk about, you know, all the time where you got to have the experienced quarterback. You got to have that elite signal caller. We watched NFL teams this week. We watched the Washington football team play with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback and actually stay competitive in a game with Tampa Bay. But it is a fascinating angle. The AFC's got all the young guys, the young bucks on the way up. And the NFC's got those grizzled veterans like Brady and Breeze, who are both 40-plus. Rodgers, who's 37. As you look at, you know, that position, and we look at how maybe even that position is changing before our eyes, thoughts on why the AFC has been able to strike a little bit of gold here with a lot of these younger prospects right now?
Well, I guess the problem was that the AFC had so many teams that were aggressive in trying to get the young quarterbacks. And you can see in the NFC, like with the way this year started, you had 12 quarterbacks in the NFC that were making $21 million and 11 have been to the Pro Bowl. But in the meantime, you're looking at teams that had to be in the AFC, and they didn't have those quarterbacks. And so what you see is some aggressiveness. For example, you got Kansas City being able to be smart, and they got Patrick Mahomes. Then you saw that Baker Mayfield, the Browns were able to get him, and that didn't look very questionable for a while. Now he's really playing well, so they were able to do it. But I think what it comes down to is that you're just seeing a changing of the guard, and we've seen this really through the years. You know, once, say, Peyton Manning came into the league, the AFC started to become the better conference. Then, of course, you get the 2014 draft, and they had, you know, good quarterbacks like Ben Roethlisberger in there. You had Phillip Rivers, and they started taking over, and then the AFC became the dominant conference. Well, now, starting in about 2011, the NFC started to go through that cycle. You know, Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, and so now we're seeing a changing of the guard because now the NFC quarterbacks are older, the top ones, and the AFC quarterbacks are younger. I mean, this season started out, there was about 10 starting quarterbacks in the AFC that were in their rookie contracts. Some of them haven't worked out, but some have, and now you're going to see the AFC be the dominant conference for the next several years.
You know, we saw Andy Reid have a plan, and Alex Smith, who, of course, has been here with the Washington football team. Patrick Mahomes basically sat there for an entire season, got to play in the last game of the regular season, and it seemed to do him a lot of good, but Kansas City rewarded because they had a plan, John. It looks like still we have a lot of teams out there that don't necessarily have a plan, and now Robert Saleh's in a position there with the Jets. Does he keep Sam Darnold, or does he look to draft one of these young quarterbacks that, you know, clearly people are enamored with this draft coming up, or does he entertain a ransom? I mean, you're going to have some teams that make a call to the Jets and offer an awful lot here to get up to that spot. So Andy's rewarded with a plan. His team eventually wins the Super Bowl. You would think other teams might copy that, but we really haven't seen that from some of these organizations.
No, you're right about that. And the interesting thing about the selection of Patrick Mahomes is one that, Andy wasn't in the forefront of that at the very beginning. It started with Matt Nagy, who was the quarterback coach of the Chiefs, and he became as one coach told me, he had a man crush on Patrick Mahomes. So they'd sit there in the Saturday meetings, and they would start to watch. He would make them watch all the film from Patrick while they're trying to get their Saturday prep meetings at home, getting ready for home games. And, of course, also joining the booth was their general manager, Brett Veach, who they both went to Delaware together. And so they both came on the same page and kept nagging Andy during the season. Hey, you got to watch this Mahomes guy. You got to watch this. And, you know, Andy got tired of it for a while. He says, I've got to concentrate on this season. Then toward the end of the season, he kept on asking, okay, what do you got on Mahomes? And so they knew, particularly back then, that they were going to do the best they can to get Mahomes. And certainly they did. And now they get probably the best young quarterback that's come into the league since Andrew Luck, since Peyton Manning, or you name it. And so they were on it from the very beginning. Andy wasn't at first, but he jumped on board, and look what he's been able to do.
You know, Aaron Rodgers, all the talk in the offseason, they draft Love, and, you know, there's some alleged, you know, discourse there between the two sides. All Aaron Rodgers has done is go out this season, and he and Devontae Adams have been as potent as any combination we've ever seen maybe in pro football. Thoughts on the way Aaron handled that and obviously the season they've been able to put together, because we have long forgotten about those discussions that occurred like that in the days after the draft there.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know that he was affected by it when it happened, because, you know, technically it's almost a little bit of a repeat that what he went through with Brett Favre. You know, all of a sudden, and of course, I know this one because Ted Thompson was a general manager, and I called him the Friday before the draft, the day before the draft, and I said, hey, I'm just going over this thing on the draft. You know, if Aaron Rodgers slips past 9, he's coming down to you. And so Ted came out and looked at it and started having a meeting, and sure enough, that's the way it went. But then the problem was, you know, Favre obviously didn't like it, because now you got a first-round pick on a quarterback, and then he then knew his time in Green Bay was going to be limited, probably to 2 years. So here's Aaron, the one who was the guy that came in and got the job after a couple years and took the position. It's like, okay, so you're moving up to draft Love, and it's like, so I'm out of here in 2 years. But he basically went on a mission, and he did like the offense, and he's just such a talent, because he wanted to stay there 4 or 5 more years, and we'll see if he does. But right now, I think on the mission that he got, he did such a great job in having a season like he did, even though they don't have a lot of receiver other than Devontae Adams.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We're talking with the great John Clayton here. We've got two great intriguing quarterback matchups this week. And we'll start with the veterans. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers got blown out twice by the Saints during the course of the regular season. I'm not sure New Orleans is the same team they were when they played Tampa in both of those games. But is Tampa, in your mind, a lot better than they were when they played those games? Because to me, they almost have to be to be able to beat that Saints defense. I don't think it's a blowout, John, but is Tampa in a better position maybe to finally win one of these games? Because the first two in the regular season clearly were one-sided.
Yeah, particularly the home game where they lose 38-3, and, you know, Tom was pretty much at his worst. What's happened since then, he's gotten a little bit better on getting the downfield passes, because, you know, the no risk it, no biscuit, Bruce Arians likes to throw deep, and that's not Tom's game at this stage of his career. So now what you're looking at is that he has been able to do it. They've been able to integrate Antonio Brown a little bit more and get more out of him, so they have even more weapons than they did in that last meeting. And so, you know, and the interesting thing is you can take two tacks on this. Okay, so the Bucs have played them twice and haven't been competitive, have not done well, and Tom has struggled. But you can also take the tack, can you beat Tom Brady three times in a season? And, you know, New Orleans offense struggled a little bit at first, you know, in the first half, only getting 7 points against the Chicago Bears. So I think this is one of the more fascinating games of the weekend. And, you know, anything can happen. I just don't think the Saints have the edge, because as of yet, the Bucs haven't proved they can beat the Saints, but we can find out if it happens this weekend.
John, last week, you know, a lot of people were, you know, looking at Baltimore, and Vegas loved them, you know, 4.5, almost 5-point choice on the road. And they backed it up with a strong performance against the Titans last week. The Bills, I mean, the Colts had every reason to win that game last week, John. Frank Reich chased points early in that game, maybe when he didn't have to. and it ended up costing him in this game. And Buffalo isn't exactly a juggernaut stopping the run. What a great matchup we have coming up this week. And again, two of the game's younger signal callers here, Jackson versus Allen. Your thoughts on Buffalo and Baltimore coming up on Saturday night?
Well, both quarterbacks proved something in the wild card round because, you know, Josh Allen was one that would always make a key mistake toward the end of a big game, you know, trying to do too much. And he almost, he got away with one. Remember on the sack that he had, he was being sacked and he broke away from the sack and turned it into a 23-yard loss. And so it's like, okay, that's the type of thing that gets him in trouble. But he was able to overcome it because he was so good during the course of the game and getting the points, getting the throws, doing all that. So he's now proven he can win a playoff game, which sometimes it takes years for a young quarterback to be able to do. Lamar Jackson conquered his evils when he came back from a 10-point lead, which is rare for him to be able to do, and then he was also able to at least get some good passes downfield from the pocket. Now, the problem is going to be for Lamar in this game. You know they're going to be able to run the ball, and that's going to be a problem for the Bills. But can they score enough points, particularly if the weather's going to be bad, particularly if there's going to be snow? And, you know, will, because one thing with Lamar, his arm isn't as strong as Josh Allen's. I mean, Josh has that laser beam type throw, and if Lamar's trying to throw from the pocket and really can't get outside the numbers, that could limit that offense and limit the scoring. But again, you know, watching these two quarterbacks go against each other is going to be fun, and watching the styles, because again, you got a Raven team that is really good running the football, and you've got a Bills team that has, you know, really potent offense and one of the best receivers in the game right now is Stephon Diggs. So yeah, it's going to be fascinating. I still think because they're at home and they're a more weathered team, and we'll see where the wind is going to be, the Bills have the edge.
Let you out on this, John. You've been doing this a long time. Respect your opinion greatly. You've talked to general managers of all types, all philosophies through the course of your career. You know, we have almost, in my mind, set Eric Bieniemy up. I don't want to say to fail, but we have put so much pressure on the Eric Bieniemy hire that whenever he does A, get an offer, and B, which job he eventually chooses, if he doesn't hit the ground running with that job, you know, there's almost so much hope on Eric Bieniemy, you know, being successful, especially for other African-American head coaching candidates through the years. How important is it for him that when he does choose a job that he hits the ground running with that thing? Because I almost feel like if he doesn't win 10 or 12 games in the first or second year, we've almost set him up to fail in this situation, because now for two full seasons, we've said somebody's got to give Eric a chance. Somebody's got to give Eric a chance. And yet we're watching teams not necessarily have the patience to wait around for him now because the Chiefs are obviously still playing.
Yeah, and I worry about this one, because if he doesn't get a job this year, and now it looks like it's becoming tougher for him to get a job. And then, you know, he's had so many interviews through the years that you worry that it's like, geez, somebody hire him, and somebody should have hired him so far. But you can see the way the jobs are starting to close right now. Nobody can now interview him until after the Chiefs are eliminated from the playoffs, and they very well may go to the Super Bowl. And by then, probably by midweek next week, all the coaches are going to be hired. And then, of course, the one that was going to be a natural fit was a screw-up by Houston, because, you know, I know that that's the guy that Deshaun Watson wanted. And guess what? They didn't get the interview request in for him until after Sunday, when you now have to wait. And so Houston now probably is not going to be able to get him. And we just saw that Arthur Smith has been, you know, offered, you know, one job here. And so it's like it's Robert Saleh gets the job with the Jets. So I'm really starting to get worried about this, because, you know, somebody has to hire Eric Bieniemy, but it's starting to look like there's a decent chance that may not hire. And I feel bad, because I thought he was the main candidate for everybody this year.
Let me ask you, let me follow up on that though real quick in the last 60 seconds here. Is it worth it for Houston, because they don't have a pick until the third round anyway? The chances of them being great this first year aren't great anyway. Is it worth it for them to just go ahead and wait, get their guy, and then give him the five-year deal and let him build from there, in your mind?
I think it's going to be tough, because it's going to take, you know, 2 to 3 years to rebuild that roster because they made so many bad moves, and they have nothing, repeat, nothing on defense, and J.J. Watt's not supposed to be there. The big thing that they have is Deshaun Watson, who's one of the six best quarterbacks in the league. And so when you put it all together, you know, they need to figure out organizationally what to do better, because they've got this screwed up right now more than any team in football, even to a point where Cal McNair, the owner of the team, you know, had to even come out today and apologize to Deshaun Watson for some of the mistakes that are being made, to apologize to the fan for the mistakes that are being made. I mean, it's a mess right now. And so they've got to figure out first the right thing to do organizationally, but also if you wait until after the Super Bowl, what assistant coaches are you going to get?
That's a good point. Got to build a staff. John, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the football weekend.
Okay, thanks.
You got it. John Clayton, you can read his great content, his football column in the Post this week, talking about the dynamics with those quarterbacks. On the NFC, you got the old grizzled veterans, and on the AFC, you got the young stars of today and, of course, tomorrow. It's a fascinating angle on the column. Go check it out at WashingtonPost.com. Open forum time, your chance to conclude the show with some of your thoughts. You've heard all the different stuff we've talked about here today. Let's open it up at 1-800-636-1067 on AAA Always On Call listener line. Grant and Danny at 2 right here on 106.7 The Fan. We've had some great guests today. Good stuff from Will Brinson, Fred Katz, and John Clayton. If you missed any of that, go to radio.com, hit the rewind feature. Talked about the Capitals in the very beginning of the show. Obviously talked a lot of NFL with Will and John Clayton, and Wizards with Fred Katz, with the COVID issues now surrounding that team and the fact that, you know, those back-to-back games with Cleveland coming up Sunday and Monday likely in jeopardy now for the Washington franchise. Certainly in the short term going forward. You heard our conversation about the Alabama dynasty that we talked about in that story we read in USA Today. So all of that on the table for you to react to at 1-800-636-1067. And again, if you weren't with us in the beginning of the show, I mean, if you're the Capitals last night, you are super pumped because you scored 6 goals last night. You scored power play goals, and you didn't need one from the grade 8. Okay? Grade 8 with a couple of handouts last night. Nicholas Backstrom scored his first ever goal in a season opener last night for Washington. We had brought that stat up on the show yesterday, so good to see Backy get in the scoring column and light the lamp. Probably going to get Vanecek in goal tonight for Washington in this second half of the back-to-back against Buffalo. So, you know, even though the team brought Craig Anderson aboard on a one-year deal for $700,000, you know, kind of as an insurance policy there, the youngster Vanecek gets the opportunity tonight. And again, you just don't know what kind of opportunity is going to be there for guys like that. Vanecek's been great, you know, down at Hershey, obviously. Been great on that level. So, you know, I'm not sure how much more he has to prove there, but you want him to play. That's the only thing. You know, it's easier for a veteran like Anderson to sit around and not play and get the minimal opportunities. But right now, with your younger players as taxi squad guys right now, I mean, the only skating they're getting is in your practices. And yes, while you do, you obviously, you know, keep yourself reasonably in decent shape, you're practicing against the best of the best, obviously practicing against your own guys. But being able to, you know, keep game stamina up and things of that nature, not the same when you're sitting around quite a bit watching. So that's the only thing right now with those guys that you're a little bit worried about. Otherwise, solid first performance from Washington, and we'll see what happens in the second half of that back-to-back coming up tonight as they'll take on the Sabres, and we'll have it for you here on 106.7 The Fan. So make sure you keep it tuned and locked in. Great to hear the voices of John Walton, Joe B, Locker. I mean, we've missed it. We really have. I mean, there's a comfort level that you have that, you know, life, at least for a couple of hours, is kind of back to, you know, how we want it to be when we hear the comfort of those guys' voices. It really is. It's, you know, we missed it. I mean, those guys usually are with us from October all the way through April and May. And unfortunately, we've had to sit aside waiting for them to come back in into our lives. But John Walton, the call on the radio side coming up tonight right here on 106.7 The Fan. Mets with Brad Hand. How many Brad Hand, Juan Soto matchups are we going to see coming up this season? Mets loading up, man. Mets are loading up. They trade for Lindor and Santana, and now bringing in Brad Hand in that bullpen. New York is loading up here. You know, you're gonna get Hand versus Schwarber here late in ball games coming up. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun in the National League East. It's gonna be very competitive within that division. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-636-1067. AAA Always On Call Listener Line. Andre in Manassas. Andre, you're on 106.7 The Fan. Hello.
Hey, I know what I'm about to say is gonna sound sacrilegious to many, and I realize it's a stupid idea. But I really feel I need to start doing something like put in a sort of like a salary cap in college football, but like a star cap in terms of how many 5 and 4 stars, one school can recruit. Now, I know it's dumb. I do get it, Pete, on sports. I realize it. But, I'm the biggest college football fan, maybe second to you. But I'm not even watching it anymore, particularly when it comes to the BCS, but the playoffs, because it's always the same 4 teams. There may be a team here and here that changes. But it's not must-watch TV for me anymore. I remember there was a day when college football was on in the playoffs, and I was glued to it. But now it's just like, kudos to Alabama and Saban. I can't take anything away from him. But it's boring for me, and I realize I may be in the minority. But having said that, there's so many other teams. There's 100 and some teams out there, and when one or two schools keep on getting, the 5-star player because they have better facilities and fan base and – accessibility to the stadiums and so forth. I guess what I'm saying is the NCAA, and if it is the NCAA, because I realize the BCS or the college football playoffs, it's not even NCAA anymore, but whoever's in charge of it, they need to figure out a way how to make things, put more parity in between teams and in between conferences. And if it's to say, hey, each team can only get no more than, 3 or 4 or 5 stars and, X amount of 4 stars and so forth, well, so be it. But they do need to change something with the college football game.
Andre, appreciate the call. Here's the thing, though, because then we'd get some guys out there that would be underhanding folks like at 24/7 and Rivals and all them saying, hey, make sure that John Smith is only listed as a 3-star recruit. Well, who's to say Mike Farrell at Rivals doesn't take a check for $20,000 just to rate guys as 3 stars, just so a team can say, hey, Rivals had that guy as a 3-star, so that's why we recruited him, I say that facetiously and hypothetically. I would never say Mike Farrell does a tremendous job with Rivals, would do that. But what's to say they couldn't do that? What's to say somebody, hey, Mike, look, we really want, John Green here from Savannah, Georgia. Could you please only rate him as a 3-star recruit so that way we could get past the line of, we're at 5-star guys? Look, every school, and look, this is all about building a brand. It's all about brand building. I'll elaborate a little bit more on this on the other side of the update, because there's a lot to touch on in that call from Andre. Your calls as well. Final half hour of the show. Ryan Kerrigan coming up with Grant and Danny during their show today between 2 and 6. It's all right here on 106.7 The Fan. Pete on Sports with you. 2 o'clock, Grant and Danny take over. Ryan Kerrigan, a part of their show coming up this afternoon. Guy that's played his whole career here. Number one pick. Had a chance to maybe seek life elsewhere. Hasn't done it. Been a loyal soldier for the Washington football team during the course of his football career. We talked with both Will Brinson and John Clayton. And again, I think it's an interesting angle. And you heard John Clayton's answer about Eric Bieniemy and about teams now. And Houston, of course, botched it royally. They waited till the second week after the season to seek an interview request with Bieniemy. So they can't take advantage. They couldn't take advantage of interviewing him then and then getting a second interview if Kansas City wins this week, and Kansas City advances to the Super Bowl. You can conduct second interviews only during the bye week between the championship games and the Super Bowl. So for a team like Houston, does it make sense for them to wait 3 more weeks and put Eric Bieniemy behind the 8-ball in terms of being able to assemble the right kind of staff to be successful? Because have we put unrealistic expectations as it pertains to Eric Bieniemy? Everybody you talk to in football, it's can't miss candidate. This is the one African-American candidate that not only deserves the interview, but deserves a job. And if we put him in such a high regard that if he comes out of the gates, if he gets a job and he picks the wrong job and comes out of the gates 4-12, 5-11, you know, then where are we? And then where is he? You know? I mean, so much pressure on him now to pick the right job. Pick the job that's going to allow you to be the most successful. Do the Chargers wait? You know, you would think with a quarterback like Justin Herbert, you know, you would think that an offensive guy like Bienemy makes sense there. Yeah, but do the Chargers wait? And this is where, again, the hiring practices in the NFL hurt these kind of candidates. Not just Eric Bienemy, but any candidate that's still coaching for one of these teams that's still in action. Look at the people that have been hired so far. Urban Meyer was doing TV, very available. Okay, Robert Saleh's team, tons of injuries, didn't make the playoffs, very available. Arthur Smith, Tennessee, got knocked out of the playoffs, very available. Hasn't taken the Falcons' job yet, but he's been offered the job. So the key to all of this, in many respects, is being available, you know, being available to be hired by one of these teams. So my concern is, and John gave a great answer. John's been doing this a long time. He has talked to every conceivable general manager of all philosophies of all types. You know, he's talked to guys that, you know, would probably, for lack of a better term, never hire an African-American coach, because we know that exists out there. It's undeniable. It's undeniable. That's why we've had so many candidates have to wait so long. It's undeniable. There's people out there that do think like that and probably would never hire one. Then you have a situation where Eric happens to be a terrific coordinator on a team right now that's still playing. Todd Bowles, same thing. You know, Byron Leftwich, same thing. I'm surprised Byron's name doesn't get a little more traction. Obviously, Bruce Arians, you know, still from a coaching standpoint, but that's a similar situation. Just like Andy Reid is the dominating factor in Kansas City, you know, Bruce is, you know, in Tampa. But, man, Byron's done some good work. Byron's done some good work. You know, so I don't understand why his name doesn't get a little more run right now. And the other thing, too, is, and Robert Saleh may be, you know, the exception. How many defensive guys are going to get a look? In other words, I think it's good that Robert Saleh got hired. That leaves out hope for a guy like Todd Bowles to get another opportunity somewhere down the road. You know, that gives him opportunity somewhere down the road to get another chance. Because my concern is, too, is we really go one-sided in terms of the offensive guys here at some point, because we all want offense. We all want, you know, development of our young quarterback. We want all of that stuff to come together as one. You know, there's a faction that believes you can't necessarily do that with a defensive guy. I mean, look at kind of the inconsistencies in offense in Minnesota. It's not just Kirk Cousins. It's not Kirk's fault. You know, Mike Zimmer has a certain way he wants to play. You know, they lose a great game breaker like Stephon Diggs. You know, certainly have another one in Justin Jefferson taking his place. I mean, I don't understand how that club, you know, comes up short. You know, Kirk is capable. You've got Dalvin Cook. You've got Thielen and Jefferson. You know, let's be a little more aggressive with the offensive philosophy there to me if I'm Minnesota. We can't play this game, you know, like in the 80s where we're going to play, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust on defense and pray that the offense doesn't, you know, hurt us. That offense got some people. That offense has some people. Anthony Lynn's going to interview potentially with Seattle for an OC position. You know, he could sit out this year because the one thing about getting fired is usually it's with time on the contract and you're working for, you know, you're getting free money out there this year. But if I'm Anthony Lynn, I got to get back right in. And if I got a chance to get with a team like Seattle, by all means, let's go with a good team. My reputation stays better and stays on the minds of others if I go coach a guy like Russell Westbrook. If I have a chance to be the OC for a quarterback like Russell Westbrook, sign me up. I don't sit out because that next opportunity might not be in such a great position. Might not be in such a great position. Give me an opportunity to coach Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, by all means, let's get in the van and head up, you know, I-5 and go north. Let's do it. Let's do it. Because if you're Anthony Lynn, you got to stay positive in this situation. I thought Anthony Lynn did a lot of decent things with the Chargers. I mean, they just had some stuff happen in so many games this year. So many games. And then they did finally kind of figure it out toward the end of the season. You know, they did kind of figure it out toward the end of the season, but it was too little, too late at that point. Yes, you're in the division with the Kansas City Chiefs. I understand that completely. But, man, that group kind of figured it out. And those little things that were killing them early in the season that cost them so many close games, they've kind of figured it out a little bit. So if you're Anthony Lynn and you want to stay, you know, fresh in the minds of people that potentially will hire you again as a head coach, by all means, go coach Russell Wilson. Take Pete Carroll up on that offer. Head north and go coach there in Seattle. I think it's a great opportunity because, as we know, sometimes you have to take lesser jobs, you know, take lesser jobs. Maybe you contact Urban Meyer. Maybe he'll put you in charge of the offense with Trevor Lawrence potentially there in Jacksonville. But as we told you on this show, even we were doing in the afternoons as all of this was coming, once that Urban Meyer domino fell one way or the other and guys realized either they had a chance to be in Jacksonville or they didn't, now all of this stuff is starting to fall in line. Question is, like usual, is Eric Bieniemy going to run out of time? Because Kansas City keeps on playing right now in those AFC playoffs. You know, I mean, sure, if Cleveland rises up and knocks them off this week, that becomes a moot point. Friends, it's moot, not mute. Always remember that. You know, just like it's lose, not loose. But, you know, hopefully, one of these teams will have the patience. And if you're Houston at this point, why not? You got no pick to the third round. You're likely going to struggle a little bit anyway this year because you got so many holes to fill, and particularly on the defensive side. But at least with Deshaun Watson, you're sitting in a place where you have the franchise quarterback already. You're not waiting around for that guy. You already have him. And I wouldn't put it past Eric Bieniemy to be able to do some things where at least you're competitive in games. Even though your defense may not be able to stop the elite teams, you may be in more games than you think going forward, and it may be worth their time to wait for a candidate like Eric Bieniemy there in Houston, because they're already behind the eight ball, thanks to Bill O'Brien, to begin with. We'll come back and wrap things up here on this Friday in a moment right here on The Fan. Final segment of the show, Grant Danny coming up at 2. Ryan Kerrigan, a part of their extravaganza this afternoon, starting at 2 o'clock. Keep it locked in right here on The Fan. Time to take a look at some NFL picks for this weekend. We will start you off with the Saturday games. The Rams, look, they have defensively, they're exceptional. There's no question they're an elite defense. The problem for them is I think they're going to be on the field an awful lot. Coming up on Saturday against Green Bay. At some point, there are enough plays in Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. Packers have won 6 in a row coming into this one. And if there's been one thing for the Rams, they've been an average club away from home so far this year. The quarterback situation is not ideal either. Jared Goff is not healthy. That thumb is an issue in this game. And unless Cam Akers is just super, super good, Green Bay is the play here to win outright, and I do believe Green Bay covers the 6.5, and I think that's important. You get that line has come down a half a point and becomes important here at 6.5. I think you take Green Bay in the opening game coming up on Saturday. The game of the weekend to me is the Saturday night game, and this is the hardest game by far for me to differentiate. Right now in Vegas, it is as well. Spread's 2.5. It's come down a half point. A lot of Baltimore money making that happen. Right now, 51% of the money on Buffalo, 49% on Baltimore in terms of the spread in this game. Look, Buffalo, in my opinion, Buffalo had every reason to lose that game last week against Indianapolis and somehow escaped during the course of that game. I don't believe John Harbaugh and his staff make some of the brain dead decisions that we saw from Indianapolis last week. Ravens have been exceptional away from home as well. Playing on the road doesn't freak them out. And you talk about two hot clubs. Buffalo has won 7 in a row. Baltimore has won 6 in a row. The number is 49.5. You know, I think you could get over there. I think we could see something like, you know, 28-24 somewhere in this game between these two sides. Weather, though, certainly an issue. Latest weather forecast seems to track most of the lake effect snow going south of the Buffalo area from that standpoint. At Buffalo at -2.5. I'm with Will Brinson, who was joining us earlier. I will take Baltimore outright in this game. The Colts should have gotten Buffalo last week. I think Baltimore will get the Colts this week. Ironically, one of those young quarterbacks going to move on to an AFC championship game. The question is, which of the other young Bucks will join them there? The Cleveland Browns get their head coach back this week after a terrific performance against Pittsburgh, where the Steelers completely self-destructed in the first 15 minutes of the game. The game was over competitively at that point. The Steelers worked their way back into the contest a little bit cosmetically after that. Is Kansas City going to fall apart like Pittsburgh did last week? Probably not. The one thing that scares you about the Chiefs in this game, though, is they're a 9.5-point choice down from 10, and they've won several one-possession-type games during the course of this season. Cleveland playing with confidence. Kansas City enters off of a bye week coming up this week. In the opening act of our Sunday games, I think you got to give a nod to Cleveland here, not necessarily to win this game outright, but certainly to keep it within 9.5 points in this game. There's nothing outstanding, overwhelming about the Kansas City defense that would keep Cleveland from getting some things done. And you're going to get some motivated guy, I think, in Kareem Hunt in this game as well. Kansas City's MO has been winning close games. I think they'll win another close game coming up this weekend. Stefanski back for the Browns. I don't know if it's enough to win outright, but I think they can cover the 9.5 against Kansas City. Meanwhile, a game that is so hard to figure because the two regular season games between these two were absolute routs. It was New Orleans in a rout. Okay? We watched Tampa last week struggle with Taylor Heinicke and the Washington football team. You know, Washington was in this game all the way till the end. And, you know, it seems almost sacrilegious to pick against Tom Brady in the playoffs. You know, the 43-year-old veteran has done it all. Last week he won a game as a wild card for the first time in the playoffs as well. Tampa's won 5 games in a row. Are they a completely different team than they were the last time they played the New Orleans Saints? In fact, both regular season matchups. The first one you throw out the window because it was Tom's first game there. But the second one? They lost 38-3. Well, the addition of Antonio Brown make a big difference for them this time around? Oh, hard to pick against Tom Brady in a situation like this. But, you know, the Saints really didn't do anything for me last week against the Bears. This is the one game where I'll kind of go against the grain here. I'll take Tampa in the points. In this contest, I'll take 3 points. It's down from 3.5 to 3, but I'll gamble with Brady in this situation over Drew Brees, who's not still healthy in my mind for the New Orleans Saints. That Saints defense is really good, but we'll see if Brady and company can get it done for a third time and finally win one of these games against the Saints. Our thanks to Will Brinson from CBS Sports, who joined us, Fred Katz from The Athletic, who talked about the Wizards and the COVID situation right now that has them on pause, and John Clayton, the columnist from The Post, as well. Stay tuned. Grant and Danny are up next. My thanks to Landfill and Brendan Darr for all their hard work this week. We'll talk to you Monday at 10 right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.